When the Work Hurts, by Sylvia de Blasio. It might sound like a paradox, but the word reconnects sometimes disconnects and hurts. If you have facilitated or attended a Word Reconnects event, no matter whether it is a webinar, training, workshop, retreat, or otherwise, you may have noticed a few things. There is a disproportion of white people compared to the number of non-white, non-North American, or non-European people attending. There are visible differences in the ways and length BIPOC expresses through the different phases of the spiral. In a number of cases, BIPOC ends up leaving the event or process, not fully participating or expressing they have been hurt or feel unsafe or disconnected. A number of BIPOC expresses that the word that reconnects does not fully speak to their reality, cultural context, and needs. As a Latin woman, I have experienced the following in the context of the Word That Reconnects events and groups. Condescending attitudes, as if I am a small child or lack some abilities. Being spotlighted, as if I have to represent or express an entire complex culture. Being asked to report harm and requested to be assertive when I feel unsafe or uncomfortable. One of the many complex explanations for this disproportion of BIPOC in the Word That Reconnects circles and events is that BIPOC groups are as varied as cultures, ethnicities, and languages are on this planet. Many BIPOC groups have been experiencing what is known as the Great Unraveling for decades or even centuries. From being colonized to being subject to discrimination to having their livelihoods and cultures destroyed and seen as underdeveloped. BIPOC groups have seen their lands taken and abused, their language attacked and ignored, their values seen as less than or idolized, their most sacred connections to plants and places converted into touristic attractions or the newest trend to getting connected to yourself. Many BIPOC groups have also a more recent history of connection with nature and community, and their own ways to express gratitude, navigate grief, and support each other. Their seen with new ancient eyes is sometimes very ancient for their cultures, but it has been consistently and continuously ignored and smashed by the advance of a mostly homogeneous cultures that has been trying to impose their worldview, religion, and values on us for centuries, and continues to do so through both overt and subtle ways. So when we witness the expressions of pain from non-BIPOC peoples, there is an ancient and subtle skepticism rooted in us that emerges to the surface. We witness, for example, non-BIPOC people talking about PTSD and trauma when referring to the reversal of a law or a right, or a secondary trauma from watching and learning about the news. But for many of us, we have lived through forced migrations, riots, food scarcity, military coup where people disappear or were murdered, massive land grabbing from our countries, ongoing gaslighting, condescending attitudes, and open discrimination all of our lives. Many of us may come to the Word That Reconnects circles because we are attracted to the core principles and have experienced and loved some of the practices. But when we go back to our regular lives, and sometimes our regular lives are right there while we are attending an online event or participating in a Word That Reconnects group, our lives continue to bring us pain, frustration, discomfort, anger, and all those feelings that we are expected to express during the honoring the pain for the world. For us, there is no turning off the news, notifications, and getting off from social media to diminish the pain. We have the pain in front of us constantly. It is not that we don't care about the elephants whose trunks are being cut out from their bodies still alive, or the plastic on the oceans, or women's rights. It's that our sister is a single mother whose child is always on the brink of falling into drugs or taking his life because there is no other future for him. Or a cousin lives in a shack among scrap old cars and still manages to rescue cats and dogs, even when he barely has food for himself. That our brother-in-law has no money to buy hearing aids, even when he has been deaf all his life due to an accident. Or that our ex-spouse doesn't have $3 to pay the monthly rent and has become so thin due to hunger that he has become unrecognizable. And on and on and on. Many say that BIPOC cultures are fun and are full of joy. That is also true. We make jokes about anything. We dance and sing, and we have many ways in which we come together as communities. Those of us who are still lucky enough to have a resemblance of an extended and multi-generational family enjoy coming together for long meals and sharing of stories or music. We care about animals and plants as well. We have learned to laugh at adversity and to take ourselves not so seriously. So for us, gratitude and community are a way of resistance, resilience, and a coping mechanism. For us, activism or going forth has also been a way of life. It is called survival. It is called the never-ending fight for our diminished rights to exist. It is the impossible dream from lives and communities where the only dream left has been to get through this life and trust that the next one will bring some justice.